You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rob Benedict.
And I...
Did you say it? What happened?
I just feel like this is the time we're doing a wrap-up episode. Shouldn't we turn this whole thing on its ear? Let's switch it up, okay? Just be different. Just because it's end of year. Okay. Just go with me on this. Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Rob Benedict.
And I'm Richard Spate Jr.
Now, doesn't that feel good?
No.
No?
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. That's not my name.
All right.
People already get us confused.
I know, but they can't. Well, some people can see us, but a lot of people can't even see us. So, and our voices sound the same. Like, say... Hello.
Hello.
That's me.
Hello.
Hey, everybody, I'm Richard Spate Jr.
I'm Rob Benedict. Ouch! The breeze just hurt me.
You're a jerk. Welcome to our season 2 wrap-up of Supernatural. What a ride it's been so far. And hey, by the way, we're live streaming this on Patreon, which if you're on Patreon and you're live streaming with us, you know that this has been smooth sailing. And if you haven't yet, consider supporting the podcast so you can be a part of this by joining our Patreon. We will be doing a Q&A in this episode live with questions from our chat room, we hope. Okay, so let's do this. So we're going to review who some of our favorite guests were of this season. We're going to wrap up the podcast season by picking our top 5 episodes.
I can't help but notice that because we're doing a live update. So for those of you who listen to our podcast, you know that season 1 wrap up, we had Steve Hine and Trey Booty, our sound engineer, participate in this sort of episode wrap up. And I want you to know they may not be in this live stream episode. They will be chiming in on the Patreon with their votes for best episodes of the season.
Right.
It might even make Trey make a quick video so he can sort of, you know, speak his piece.
Right. And the rules are that you and I have to come up with our top 5 episodes and we have to be unanimous.
It's not going to be hard, dude. As much as you and I love to scrap and argue.
I think we both agree this is a great season and hopefully we can do it. Well, let's see. This is going to be the, that's where the tension lies. Hopefully we can do it. And we're also going to want to talk about speculation about what happens in season 3. First off, let's talk about our favorite guest stars of the season.
Okay.
What I loved about this season is that it introduced for the first time some of the great guest stars, the first in a long line of recurring guest stars that the fans really, really love.
I don't know how we can get into picking our favorite guest star. I mean, this is...
We're not going to pick her. We're just going to throw out a bag of them.
Because we had an embarrassment of great guests is what is the truth.
We really did. You got Gabe Tigerman. Chad Lindbergh. I mean, those are two of my faves. And then, you know, Samantha Ferris, Alona Tall. I mean, introducing the Roadhouse was so...
Dude, we had Jeannie Chow. We had people who helped,
We're not talking about the guest stars of our podcast. We're talking guest stars of the show.
Oh!
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about... Because I was sitting there going, every guest we've had in the podcast...
No. We can't pick a favorite of the guest stars. Like picking favorite of your children. No. No, we're picking the guest stars, the favorite guest stars of the season.
Yeah, because I've loved every single guest we've had on the podcast, Rob.
Right.
I want to go on record. Yes. Steve wants it to pick a favorite. I'm not doing it. I refuse.
Actually, I clarified that with Steve before you got on while we were waiting for you. But yeah, it's favorite. You know, just pick out some of the favorite guest stars of the season.
That I'll do, but I won't be part of you and Steve's your little plan to like parse out favorite guests in the podcast. I won't do it. I washed my hands of the whole thing.
Okay. So to return to the subject, I'm going to call out.
Can we please?
Gabe Tigerman. I'm going to call out Chad Lindberg, Alona Tall, Samantha Ferris.
You can't say Trisha Helfer wasn't an outstanding guest star this season. I mean, Trisha Helfer. Holy smokes.
Hey, young Richard Spade Jr. Come on.
What?
Let's not bury the lead. Young Richard Spade Jr., his first episode.
Let's all talk about that for an hour. That was something.
Emmanuelle Vaugier? She was
Emmanuelle Vaugier.
Vaugier.
It's French. It's French, Robbie.
It's French.
And dude, what about Lamont Bird playing Robert Johnson?
Oh, like, man.
Lamont Bird, so good.
So good.
Oh.
Well, and then, you know, yeah.
What?
Well, at the end of the season.
Catherine Isabel and Gabe Tigerman back together?
Right. And then also, you know, the movie star.
Oh, Aldous Hodge.
Aldous Hodge. I mean,
dude,
come on.
The movie star. You just sound like you're doing the opening credits for Gilligan's Island.
The movie star.
Lester
and Marianne.
The movie star. Isabel and Tiger Man.
And of course, the return of Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
J.D. Morgan. J. Morg. Hashtag J. Morg.
You know, so good. And, you know, again, that's what I loved about this season. Hey, you know who we're forgetting? Cliff Kosterman. The supernatural debut of Cliff Kosterman.
Cliff Kosterman. Unbelievable. I mean, I can't pick a favorite. I can't pick a favorite because one of the things Supernatural does so well is casting. And, I mean, of course, you and I are products of that. But truly, the guest stars that come on that show, which is why so many of them have gone on to have massive careers when they were doing Supernatural as youngsters, is it, you know, Robert Ulrich in his office and down in L.A. and Heike in Vancouver just were able to mine unbelievable actors to be on the show. They were all so good. And I mean from the, you know, one-line actor to the massive guest star. And some of the guest stars, because you're looking at a cast of two, right? Jared and Jensen.
Yeah.
So the guest stars would be huge roles because, you know, it's not a guest of, you know, I'm working on Kung Fu. There's like seven regulars. So, you know, it's a different animal. When you have two, the screen time is going to be shared with other people.
The writers were always really good about bringing people back, you know, and writing for the ones that they really connected with.
That 100%.
Fun about watching the show. It's like, you know, you see Tigerman, you're like, oh, that's a fun character. And then sure enough, he's back.
Yeah. And you know, some of these people, Rob and I know, because we've become friends with them over the years from conventions or just working with them and crossing paths over the last, you know, decade and a half. But then you have people like, you know, Emmanuelle Vaugier from Heart, who we've never met.
Right.
And, you know, who just absolutely crushed it in her performance. Yeah. And it was so great to get her on and talk about that and how, you know, we take for granted that, oh, the great actress. But, you know, you show up, you're new to a show, you don't know the cast or crew, and now you're like, and you're going to make out with that guy, and now you're going to get shot in the face. You know,
it's just
unbelievable assignments. And it was so powerful and so well done by everybody. I'm just so impressed with what Supernatural does. And Rob made a point when we were watching the episodes. We've been friends with some of these folks. I'll use Gabe Tigerman as an example. For 15 years, never seen him on TV in Supernatural. I've seen him on TV and other things, but never seen him in Supernatural. So that, like, we go back and you're like, oh, this is why you're beloved in the fandom. Yeah. Like, it's so nice to see, like, I get it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And how about this? How about the lore of Cliff Kosterman? The lore of Cliff Kosterman. We always thought he got the job because he worked on the show.
Right. Yeah.
We were wrong.
That was a huge piece of information we never knew. It's really true. And you know, same goes for all these characters and all these people that we've been friends with and haven't really seen on the show. So it was great to see. And I totally get why they're beloved by the fans and why they keep coming back to the conventions, including Richard Spade Jr., who we see for the first time this season. I mean, that was huge. That was a big moment.
I mean, here we are, Robbie and Rich Spade having a conversation on a podcast.
Yeah.
Why? because we both ended up on Supernatural.
That's right.
I mean, that's the origin story. People are like, that's how do you know Rob? Story. Supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, season two, I go to do a guest star, and then poof, here we are.
Yeah, and people always say, did you you have a lot of scenes together in Supernatural? Not one.
I literally was just telling somebody that yesterday. They were like, hey, your partner Rob, that you guys do all that stuff together, you know, blah, 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 Supernatural. And it came up, somebody referenced like, yeah, when you're working together on that show. I'm like, interestingly, we never worked together on that show. Yeah. Not until I directed you. But that was season 13 or 14, you know, way late.
Yeah, 15.
Last season. 15? Wow. Yeah.
So, hey, so let's have some nominations for favorite episodes.
Okay, this is weird, but I made notes. Like, I went through the list, because I know that, like, you're the note guy. You're, like, the guy who makes notes and then annoys everybody when you do that.
Holy crap. But and by everybody, you mean you.
Well, I mean, but, I mean, if every letter from a constituent represents 10,000 voters, then every opinion of Rich Spate represents 10,000 people. So I think 10,000 people are annoyed by your notes.
That's just math, huh?
10,000 of us are sick of it.
So I'm going to decide on scene. I'm going to throw out one and then you throw out one.
Okay, hold on. I want to know, like, what are your rules? Like, you're going to throw it. You're going to throw out a title that you think should be one of the top five?
No, I'm going to throw out a nominee for top five.
What if I agree with it? Like, what do I do?
That wins. That wins
then
the spot.
Then we know that's top five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And then I'm going to go, and then you're going to go, and that's how we're going to do it. Okay. My first nomination is the very first episode of the season, In My Time of Dying.
No.
Well, so that's a nomination. You can't know my nomination. You can't yuck my yum. You're a jerk, and you do jerk things.
Just so we know, just so people watching this know, we've written all this. This is all scripted.
And they're listening. They're not most people.
Can't they be watching in the live stream?
They're watching the live stream, but the live stream is just a small percentage of the audience that will listen to this. This is a podcast, Rich.
Okay, so Robbie,
you've
nominated In My Time of Dying.
Yeah.
Remind me, give me and the fans a wrap-up of what that was about.
So Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in it.
He plays the father, John Winchester.
Yeah. It's Jensen, basically, Ackles. Jensen's in the hospital, and we realize early on that he's actually on the verge of life and death.
Right.
And everyone's sort of crying and wanting him to come back to life, and he's in kind of a purgatory area where he's walking around the hospital, kind of a ghost.
Right.
And that's, you know, when he meets another ghost who actually is evil and something bad happens. And then
that's Lindsay.
Then Jeffrey Dean Morgan makes a deal with the yellow eyed demon.
That's when we see Lindsay McKeon first. Exactly.
Yeah.
He makes a yellow eyed demon. Okay. I remember that episode. All right. Okay, so that's your first nomination. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So I'm going to make a note here. Are you making a note? I'm going to make a note.
I did. I'm making notes.
Hot pink. And I'm going to highlight that because that's Rob's nomination. Okay. Here I go with mine. Tall Tales.
No. Sorry. I was close, but it's not going to quite make it, but it was a good try.
I'm going to have to.
Now remind me, because there were a lot of episodes this season, which one that was.
You're an animal. You're not a good person. You're a monster. Okay.
No, I agree. I agree that how can that not be in our top five? It's got to be.
You know, by the way,
five.
In the chat room, somebody just said the main reason to be on Patreon, see Rich mess with Rob. I agree. this is the content people came for.
I disagree.
Okay.
One of these days, you're going to open it up and it's going to be a blank screen, and I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be protesting.
Your own podcast? I'll summarize it.
Tall Tales. Remind me, because there were a lot of episodes.
All right. Tall Tales, it came to pass that the boys found themselves investigating a series of murders. I think it was a university and a college student got probed by an alien, and a lot of things are happening.
Right.
And enter a dream of a man in coveralls.
That's right. Jim Beaver was in that episode.
No, stop it. He was not wearing coveralls.
Oh.
This gorgeous oil painting of a person. You can't take your eyes off this character. Just slides into screen and into the boys' lives, and they're never to be the same again.
Wow.
Hearts a thumping all across the world as TV screens were hugged by all types of people wanting to know and or love this god of a man who played the character of the trickster. I don't remember the actor's name, but I'm just saying, he was a gift to humanity. A gift
Dear God.
To entertainment.
Wow.
And really has become, I think, the archetype of what manhood should look and feel like.
Wow. Wow.
Again, I can't remember the character's name, but he played the trickster.
Wow. Well, that's a very humble statement from Richard Spade Jr.
I'd let the people speak. I'm just speaking for
you're
the people.
You're just a funnel? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I remember this episode now that you mention it. You had me at coveralls. And I agree. I don't as a podcast, I don't see how we can't nominate this. Your first episode.
Yeah, man.
And it was a good one. What was the name of the thing that we learned is the technique for what they did there when they're telling Jim the story and then they no, it wasn't like that. It was like this, and then they retell it with the new version.
Oh, the Rashomon thing. Of course, we mentioned Rashomon, and Bob Singer was like, no, it's not like Rashomon, you morons. So
oh, that's right.
Maybe we shouldn't compare it to Rashomon. Well, I remember we had that, we were so, too clever by half and thought we had this great question for Bob Singer. We're like, was this the Rashomon episode? He's like, what?
Yeah, Rashomon, crazy.
Yeah. All right, so we've got our first winner, our first spot with Tall Tales.
Right, we both agree on Tall Tales, ladies and gentlemen. We both agree on Tall Tales. Let's say our Rob and Rich agree theme.
They agree. For once they agree. Literally gun to my head, I had to choose that one. But no, it was a great one. Okay, so my second nomination here. Let me go to my notes.
I'm doing a drum roll.
My next nomination is Folsom Prison Blues.
Bum, 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 bum.
Folsom Prison Blues.
Do you know that's a song title, by the way? Do you know that?
I did. We made that joke when we did that episode.
But it's not a joke to me. It hurts my heart that you don't know that's a song title.
Dude, I'm the one. No, you're a jerk. You're such a jerk. Yeah, I really loved that episode. I loved Cliff being in it. And I just thought Jensen was hilarious in it. Jensen had a little bit of everything. It was funny, but he was also serious. And it was a good, it was like kind of a nice sort of breather from the rest of the episode in a way. It kind of took a turn and all of a sudden became this other episode. Was it realistic? Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, you just, okay, you said a mouthful. That's why I got to say no. Not my favorite, because they go to jail to go to jail together. Like the conceit of it, like Robert, the conceit of it, that they both are going to randomly be put in the same jail and then randomly broken out. And the guy goes, okay, I'm going to break you out of jail. Here we are in the cafeteria. Go through that hole.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
I mean, like, would I love for Cliff to be in our top five? Sure. Was Jensen great? Absolutely. Was Jared wonderful? You betcha. It just, I felt like it was a series of conveniences that made it not my favorite.
Yeah. All right. So just for anyone keeping score, Rob is 0-2.
Over two.
Rich is 1-1. Rich, you're
but
turn.
I got news for you, though. And here's where I got news for you. We're going to agree on one of yours because this season is so great. You know what I mean? So you actually probably picked the one.
Right.
That I'm like, that I think, because you and I give us, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but like we rate these shows with our beard scale. And we got a lot of full beards on this one, on this season.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of full
beards. Yeah. We will be right back.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Connell from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer NC Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. And now back to the episode.
So yeah. Now what episode number was that? I'm marking these down. It's right there.
Prison, that was 219.
219, right. Okay, yeah. So 219, big, fat, no thank you, ma'am. But right. I'm going to give you a hot pink thing. Okay, here we go. Here's my next one.
Okay.
Hollywood Babylon.
Hollywood Babylon. Explain, pitch it to me. Why?
Hollywood Babylon. Babylon. The boys go to Los Angeles, California for a little R&R. And wind up stumbling into a murder that took place on a set. Mm-hmm. And then are fascinated by the behind the scenes of making TV. Dingy gets all wrapped up in the production of it all and gets to, you know, hook up with a hot star that he'd been watching movies forever. Meanwhile, they figure out that it's a resentful writer who's annoyed that his work is being sullied by producers. And so he makes a deal with a bunch of demons to... or a bunch of dead people to, you know, kill the people he thinks are ruining his work. A disgruntled writer, that's the word I'm looking for. So it has Gary Cole in it. It has an actor that you said you knew, I believe a comedian.
Yeah.
Who played the director. And it's just a super, it's when Supernatural does that wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing where it sort of almost pokes fun at itself because it's making fun of TV shows and how they're made. I just thought it was super clever.
Yeah.
Very meta episode, very showed off Jensen's comedy chops really, really well. Yeah. And had a cool, just a kind of a cool, fun departure from some of the darker episodes in the season. I thought it was really clever. And also, again, like I say, Supernatural does that kind of episode really, really well.
Yeah.
And this is sort of, you know, one of the first of it doing that kind of thing.
Okay. Okay, fine. You win.
Okay.
We got a second one. Okay. Rich is 2 for 2. Rob is over 2. Here we go. I'm going for broke. I need a win. All Hell Breaks Loose, Part 1.
Yes, 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 yes. Agreed.
Really terrific cliffhanger where Sam dies at the end. You don't know what's going to happen. You got the return of Gabe Tigerman and the rest of that group. That's all the sort of the special people that the Yellow-Eyed Demon has nominated to be
the
leader of his. And you find out a lot of stuff. You also get this great scene between Sam and the Yellow-Eyed Demon in Sam's sort of dream where he finds out some very, very interesting facts about his mom's death.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right?
I forgot about that. That scene is so creepy. Yeah. And the way Sam Smith is like, oh, hi, Dave, or whatever. She, you know, when she knows.
Right, exactly.
You're like, what is going
on? Yeah, and you learn that the Yellow-Eyed Demon's name is Dave. No, but yeah, so you learn a lot of that stuff. And the fact that he was like, didn't he say he did Sam's girlfriend just for fun or something?
No, because he said because Sam was was losing focus on task.
Right,
he needed Sam
right.
on task.
So just evil. So that was just, that little secret wink where
oh my God.
Sam Smith knows him.
Yeah, it brutal. I mean, and Sam Smith, it's like you're going somewhere with your wife and you go see some like rock star and then the rock star leans down and goes, oh, hey, Ruth. And you realize, oh, my God, my lady dated that rock star. Like, that's her ex-boyfriend. This is so weird. I've been paying tickets to this guy. It turned out, you know,
what do
there's
you know?
A relationship.
Who
Ruth
is it?
Dated
Who
Eddie
is
Vedder.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be kind of cool. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought that's what that moment was like. Oh, holy smokes. What a reveal. Yeah.
Great. I'm glad you agree with me. This feels good when you agree with me on something.
This may be the first time this has ever happened.
Maybe. All right. We've got three out of the five. Rich, your turn.
All right, dude. I do not see how you can talk about season two, best episodes, top five. I mean, we're not going to talk about top one, top five. That's a pretty good chunk, a quarter of the episodes, just about. I do not know how you can discuss season two. I don't see a world where you can talk about season two and not have in your top five, without question, Heart.
Heart, yeah. I knew that was what you were going
to
say.
You got to go, man, to Heart. I mean, you got the, just for Jared's sadness when he has to go kill the woman and Jensen's reaction to it.
Yes.
Worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
It's just a rock solid acting and story. Every other episode is like, well, we solved the crime and everything's kind of wrapped up neatly except for this dad story. They don't solve it. They have to take out the lady that we've come to know and love throughout the episode.
I mean, the ending was so different than any of the other endings. And it was tragic. Jared Padalecki turning in some amazing acting.
Jensen Ackles turning
Jensen
in some
Ackles
amazing
also,
acting.
Yeah.
That shot where they're just on Jensen and then like, bam, off screen. I would put their acting in that episode up against anybody on TV doing anything right now.
I agree.
Your Game of Thrones or, you know, anybody doing Ozark, anybody doing anything that we all consider to be brilliant right now, I would stack those boys up against it and I would just take that clip and go, boom, do better.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
And I agree. And, you know, also having this like mini romance between Sam and Emmanuel Vaugier's character was, it's so intense. And again, you're packing that into what, 42 minutes, 45 minutes? So good. So good. All right. We've got four of our five. Tall Tales, okay, Hollywood, Babylon, All Hell, Part 1, and Heart.
And now the gloves come off because it's a battle royale for the final slot. There's only five slots. Let me repeat. There's only five slots. We did the math before we went live on air.
Yeah.
Turns out when you have a top five, that limits you to five choices. So there's only, we have four. And our accountants just sent in the math on that. If we have four and there's only five slots, that leaves, and I'm not kidding you, one more to choose.
Wow.
There's a lot of episodes left. We have 22 episodes
of TV,
buddy.
I'm glad we have the accounts, because I wouldn't have been
able to. We have 22 episodes of TV. I don't like your tone. 22 episodes of TV. We've already, so there's so many more to choose from.
Okay. Can we do this together?
I would love to, because if we don't, we'll be like, this could turn ugly, everybody. Okay. This could turn ugly.
No, it's hard, and Lord knows it's already gotten a little bit ugly.
Stop it.
I've just got some simple questions. What's Night Shifter? Which one is that? Ben Edlin wrote it. What happens in Night Shifter?
I remember Ben Edlin wrote it, and it's really good. It's the bank heist. It's the one that looks like Dog Day Afternoon.
Yes.
Where they, you know, the great guest star guy, you think, oh, you know, he's like, I know what it was. It was this, and they realize the videotape shows like the eyes of the creepy people.
It's a great episode. And they're locked. They're locked in the, they're locked in the, great episode. But Born Under a Bad Sign, which one was that?
Is that when Sam tries to make it with Joe violently at the Harvells?
Oh, yeah, that was dark.
Yeah, it is. Okay, that's great.
That's good.
You got Alona Tall getting accosted by
possessed
Jared
Sam.
Padalecki.
Yeah.
Or sorry, Sam.
Yeah. There's Roadkill. It was great with Trisha Helfer. We really liked that one, remember?
Clever turn.
Yeah. Is there
Too
another
many
one
good
that,
ones.
That struck you?
Well, I had written down Roadkill is one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah.
What was House of the Holy? Yeah.
There was a house?
The church where they had the priest and they, you know, was doing the old priest thought he was helping,
priest.
But he wasn't helping.
That was a pretty good one. That was a good one.
That was really good. What about Croatoan? I still have a hard time saying.
Croatoan, we liked Croatoan.
Yeah. Night Shifter, we know and like. I got to be honest, Night Shifter is on my, like, it might be my
number five.
Like right now, it's between Night Shifter and Born Under Bad Sign is so good though. But it might be Night Shifter.
Night Shifter, yeah.
Or it might be Roadkill. I mean, I still think Roadkill is a great episode. So I'm narrowing it down.
Also, there's What Is and What Should Never Be was really good. We really liked that.
Attacked by the Djinn. That's the tattooed face guy.
Yeah.
And it shows him the other world, the other life he could have lived.
Yes, yes. That was great.
That was great. Seeing was great Sam as a California lawyer was great.
We did that two full beards.
Yeah, and Adrian Palicki came back for that. That was cool.
Yes. I nominate that as number five.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going rogue.
Okay, that's good. I like it when you make a choice. It's refreshing. So we're down to three.
Okay.
Night Shifter.
Yeah.
Roadkill.
Yes.
And What Is and Never Should Be.
Yeah, What Should Never Be.
It's What Should Never Be. What Is and What Should Never Be.
By a band called Led Zeppelin.
Okay, Rob, I want you to tell me what you think it is. Like, I want your opinion of what you think. So, now, again, buddy, we're talking Night Shifter, which is the Mandroid episode with a really great guest star who helps somebody gets killed in the bank. We got Roadkill, which is just a helper, thinking that she's being haunted when it turned out she's the haunter.
Yes.
And we have What Is and What Should Never Be, which of course is that's the life Dean could have lived.
Right. Now I'm going to say this only because I'm so swayed by what other people say. And everyone in the chat seems to be saying What Is and What Should Never Be. So I'm going to say What Is and What Should Never Be. You don't like that. You're sipping your coffee.
I'm sipping my coffee. I'm thinking about it because it's really tough. And now I know that it all comes down to me. This is not the pressure I need in my life. I want to open this by saying season two was an outstanding landmark season of television.
Yeah.
Even the episodes we didn't nominate as our best were good. Yeah. I don't think there was a turd in the bunch. I'll say that right now.
No, no turds.
Wish to do 22 episodes of TV and not have one kind of like, nah, unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Such a strong episode.
Lots of full beards this season. All right. What do you say? We see. We are out of time. What do you need? What do you say?
I agree with you.
Okay. All right.
That's it. Wow. I mean, how can you? It's a great episode of TV. And by the way, there's about three or four other ones that we could have gone with, and I've been like,
that too, totally.
Very happy with that. All right,
I want to do an honorable mention to just as a writer, Ben Edlund, who wrote Simon Said, and he also wrote Night Shifter. Just fantastic. Every episode he writes, exciting to watch.
By the way, so our top five end up being episode 15, 16, 17, 20, and 21. Sorry. 15, 17, 18, 20, and 21. But like, what a grouping. Like, all at the tail end of the season.
Wow. And, you know, and for what it's worth, like you said, like, we also really loved, while we were watching it, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Like, you know, I remember in the middle there, we were like, I'm sorry to say it, but it's another full beard.
Dude, I mean, we became broken record, so to speak. But it was, like, I mean, again, Night Shifter, which you mentioned, which episode 12. Yeah. Unbelievable episode of TV. Yeah. The season opener, 201, which you mentioned. An unbelievable episode of TV.
Right.
The clown one, using the sort of really creepy clown part, it was fantastic. And then what Steve Boyum did with Crossroads Blues in terms of creating a whole new look of flashbacks for Robert Johnson.
Yeah,
and then
great.
Dean,
and the Crossroads Demon.
Dean meeting up with the road.
Crossroads Demon, who interviewed, was great. And the dude who played Robert Johnson was great.
And now we have the challenge, Rob. We have to put these in order. So now we have five episodes, Tall Tales, Heart, Hollywood Baby Lawn, What Is and What Should Never Be, and All Bell Breaks Loose, Part Okay, I'll start. I'm going to make this easy.
Okay.
I'm going to make it easy off the top.
Okay.
So we're going, you know, number five being the fifth best up to number one, right? Right out of the gate, I'm going to say number five, Tall Tales. It's a fun romp. Obviously, I'm biased, but I don't think it has the edge of a lot of the other episodes. So I think it's easily out of that list, the fifth best.
I would almost say Hollywood Babylon 5 and Tall Tales 4.
I could be talked into that. Yeah, because of the sort of, again, the sort of almost the lightness of the story in a way. And then, you know,
and I think that they've done that better in the future, because I know that they do that again pretty much in French Mistake.
Right.
And I think French Mistake, I would take that above Hollywood Babylon.
But real quick, side note, somebody mentioned in the chat room the great use of Renegade by Styx in Night Shifter, which again, Night Shifter could easily. If Rob had said Night Shifter, I also would have said I agree for that being in the top five. Oh, that Night Shifter was Night Shifter felt like a feature, and that's why like that's it. My honorary top five. It could easily have replaced. Quite to be totally honest, if I wasn't in Tall Tales, I don't think I would put it in there. So
no.
if we were eliminating Tall Tales, I'd put Night Shifter in that spot.
Yeah.
So maybe for the sake of this, since we know Tall Tales were biased, let's take Tall Tales off. We know it's honorary. Let's go Night Shifter.
Okay.
Let's go Night Shifter. And just get
as number five or number four.
Now people are.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Right, don't do that. We've come all this way. We did this whole thing.
Well, just know that it just
you nominated it first.
I want everybody to know that it's totally ego driven. That's the only reason why I'm giving it.
Don't be swayed. Okay, number five is Hollywood Babylon. Number four is Tall Tales.
Right.
Number three, I almost want to say
what
Heart.
What are you going
to
do?
Heart or What Is and What Should Never Be?
No, you know what. Here's the thing. It has to be Heart. Even though I love Heart, and I think it's amazing the tragedy being inflicted by our boys on another person, whereas the tragedy is inflicted on them in the next two, and I think we have to save those for one and two.
Agree.
Okay.
So number two, and I'm going strictly not emotional here, but because it almost didn't make the top five on our list,
right.
I feel like What Is and What Should Never Be can't be number one.
Right. I get it.
So number two would be What Is and What Should Never Be, which leaves number one, All Hell Breaks Loose, Part One, as our favorite episode of season two.
Unbelievable. I mean, so we have, again, to recap, number five, Hollywood Babylon. Number four, Tall Tales. Number three, Heart. Number two, What Is and What Should Never Be. And number one, All Hell Breaks Loose, Part One. My honorable mention, and I don't know if yours is the same, is Night Shifter, without question. Robbie?
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Night Shifter would be my honorable mention as well.
This is an impossible season. I actually hope the seasons get worse, so this will be easier. It's way harder to pick a top five when you have okay, great shows.
Well, so let's talk about season three real quick. You know, all I know, the only thing I know about season three is that it's a shorter season because of the writer's strike.
Right.
And you're in it. You're in one episode, correct?
In season three, I believe I am, yes.
That might be all I know. I really have no idea what happens in season three. So I don't
remember a damn thing about season three.
I'm curious what happens with Ellen and Joe.
Yeah, dude, because Ash is gone.
Right.
Ash is Ash.
And so is their bar.
Which is so weird because I swear to you, I thought it was going to be a longstanding part of the show. Very strange.
Here's another question, dude. This is a big one. Dean's got a year to live.
Oh, that's right.
I thought he had a good 14 years left in him.
No, dude. I guess the show continues without him after season three.
Yeah. So he's got a year to live until the Crossroads demons gets his soul.
Well, I can't wait to dive into this. It's going to be unbelievable to see what happens.
Also, you're so quick to cut me off. Also,
sorry, I was excited.
Sam, not great, right?
Oh, Sam is not being normal Sam.
No. He beat the hell out of that guy. He shot the hell out of that guy.
Which, again, I don't, just to debate this point again, so what? I mean, that guy was trying to kill everybody. And everybody's like, wow, that's really crazy of you, Sammy. I'm like, was it? I mean, to protect everybody like that?
It's not the Sam we know.
I know.
It's not the Sam. Sam wouldn't have done that. This is back from the dead Sam.
That's not my Sammy.
It's not my Sammy. All right, so this is all to be soon uncovered as we watch season three of this show, which will be coming up very soon.
Such a fun journey we're having watching the show. And thank you to everybody who's watching it with us. It's such a blast. It's such a good show.
Yeah, it really is. That's to summarize, we really love this show.
Right.
Hey, this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We are going to take a quick break.
Hey, everybody, Richard Speight Jr. here, and if you know one thing about this guy, it's that I love boots. I wear them all the time, and that's why I love Tecovas, because they are the real deal. These boots are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the boot-making capital of the world, León, Mexico. Tecovas are all about style, comfort, and tradition. And they're not just about boots. Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples, like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans to go with your boots, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas,
You name it, they got it, and they will get you outfitted. Tecovas believes in Western for all, and you can feel it when you go into the store. You'll walk in. You're going to be greeted like family, unless you don't like your family, in which case you'll be greeted by people nicer than your family. They'll offer you a boot shine, unless you're wearing sandals, and they'll even hand you a drink. And it'll be the hard stuff if that's what you want. Rob Benedict, I'm looking at you. And right then and there, you can get custom fitted for a brand new pair of boots. You can even get custom leather stamping or branding that'll make those brand new boots truly one of a kind. All you gotta do is stop by Tecovas and get into your new boots today. But Rich, I can't make it into a store. They got you covered. Just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. So get on over to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Richard Speight, and I got a question for you. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So, she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the frickin' planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And hey, all of this sounds fantastic, but the proof is in the pudding, and what I mean is, do the dogs like it? Well, I can speak for my own dog, Luna. She freaking loves it. And that's saying something, because she's no vacuum cleaner, you know. I've seen dogs eat a sofa, but not Luna. Luna is very persnickety, very high maintenance, especially when it comes to what she eats. And Luna went crazy for this food, and I'm loving what it's doing for her. She's got great energy. She looks fantastic, and I'm assuming she feels great. She usually just says, arf. But I'm going to interpret that as, you know what, Rich? Feeling pretty good. So how do you get this fantastic food for your dog? Go to badlands.com/SPNTAN and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com/SPNTAN today.
Hey, it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan again. Welcome back to the podcast.
Okay, and now Steve's going to join us.
Producer
for
Steve.
Some podcast updates.
Yeah, here he goes.
This is just two big updates. One is, you know, people have been kind of, I think you guys have seen some of the chatter on Twitter. People are eager for some merch. And we were trying to get it up and running for the holidays so that people could get their Two Full Beards bumper stickers and coffee cups. But we looks like we might be delayed until around Valentine's Day. So you'll have to buy it for that special someone around Valentine's Day.
Okay, so to sum up, so that you're talking about merchandise with our stuff on it, and that is coming circa February 14th.
Ish, yes.
Okay.
Very fun.
And then we're going to go on a two-week hiatus, and we'll be back with season 3 starting on January 2nd. So I'll be posting that in social as well.
That's awesome. That's very exciting. Now, also, Steve, just so you know, I told the people something, and when I tell the people something, I mean it. You and Trey have to, on the Patreon, you have to lift your top 5 episodes. You don't get off the hook like, well, I'm the producer. Like, you have to involve yourself and put your name on the line, your money where your mouth is. You and Trey both have to listen.
But if anybody, you know, we have a couple of questions in the chat.
Okay, so Jason White asked a question that's good.
Okay.
Will you have some behind-the-scenes stories about the writer's strike impact on season 3? Absolutely. I can't imagine that our interviews won't touch on that. We'll definitely have some writers on, and we can talk about how that affected the season 3.
Let's see. Somebody asked, what do you think is the best song used in season 2? There's a lot of great music throughout season 2. What was the best needle drop?
House of the Rising Sun. That played like 3 times in that episode every time that it was going to be super creepy. Or Renegade by Styx for a nice
Renegade
shifter.
Was great. And we also liked the Boston in the finale. Remember? You were like, what Boston song is that?
Oh, yeah. It was Long Time. Yeah, when they used Long Time or Foreplay in Long Time. What? That was great. Which episode was that in? I can't remember. Dun, dun,
dun. It was All Hell Breaks Loose, one or two.
And then what about, where was, it was the needle drop, I think, may have been Trisha Helfer's episode where for House of the Rising Sun. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Anyway, that was a great use of it.
That was a question courtesy of Hey Joyous. Here's a fun one, Rich, and this kind of stretches beyond just season two. What was your favorite Loki line?
I think, well, for this one, I'll stick to season two, just because, it was a good first episode. I'm pretty sure I said something along the lines of, I got more ass than a toilet seat, which is a fun line.
that was Tall Tales?
Yeah. So I'm going to.
It wasn't funny in the episode. It's funny when you say it. I'm kidding.
So I'm holding off on. I won't come in on other trickster lines for future seasons. We need to save those chestnuts.
That was really
funny. Here's a fun one for the both of you. If you could have played any one of the other guest stars in season two, who would you want to have played?
Oh, just for like, obviously never would have played it. Couldn't have been done better. But just because it's a cool role, the yellow-eyed demon. That would have been cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have said that, but if that's taken...
And Rocky can't say Loki.
Yeah, and also, just another nod to Fred Lane, who played Yellow-Eyed Demon, who crushed it.
Yeah. I mean...
Tigerman?
It's really hard to say.
Tigerman's role?
Yeah, I mean, that's the honestly the first one that comes to mind. Yeah, that's such a great, fun role. But Tigerman does it so well, I wouldn't want to usurp him.
We can't. That can't be part of the thought process, because obviously whoever played it is supposed to be the role.
Well, then that's what it would be. It would be Tigerman's role. But yeah, it's a really fun one.
Here's a fun question.
Also, what's his name?
Sterling
K. Brown.
Oh, Sterling K. Brown.
Sterling K. Brown. I mean, I just think that's a fun,
great role.
Tough.
Yeah.
Role, yeah.
Here's a fun question. What surprised you the most from watching the show versus what you guys knew just from the conventions?
I'll tell you, I can flat out tell you now. It's, I know this is going to sound crazy because the show's a bunch of fans. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be more dated, I guess is my point. I thought it would feel more like a 15-year-old CW show, and it does not. It is so well done, so well shot. So well directed, and Jared and Jensen, who I already thought were, you know, great actors, are just never failed to really impress me.
Yeah, for me, it's that, but more specifically, I was unaware that seasons one and two were as good as they are. I feel like in the retrospectives, which I've seen, they always go, well, season one and two is Monster of the Week and blah, 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 and they kind of write them off. You know, and really the show kind of begins really with like Castiel coming in season four. But these seasons are not to be written off.
No,
like
God, no.
I thought season one was great. I think season two was even better. And we were just, I'm just blown away. I did not expect this from season two. It was really, really terrific.
Yeah, agreed.
We'll be posting videos on Patreon. I mean, yeah, we're going to post this video on Patreon when the podcast comes out, and then we'll post the last video tomorrow when that podcast comes out.
Yep. And we're going to do more. There'll be more coming.
Love the beard rating. Will you stick with Stapleton and Loggins or use two other artists like Billy Gibson or Dave Grohl?
No, I'll probably stick with Stapleton. But here's the thing. Keep in mind, people, you were lulled into thinking that everything is a Loggins or a Stapleton. That's not true. We had a George Michael in there. We had a couple other beard. So it's very possible that somebody will earn a Grohl. I don't know. Maybe somebody will earn a Billy Gibbons. But I think Billy Gibbons would be competing with my Stapleton. I think I'm using Stapleton as my ultimate. So it'd have to go even beyond my ultimate. Like, I guess if I was blown away, beyond blown away, beyond blown away, maybe it would become a Billy Gibbons. But I kind of feel like I've got my tent pole in Stapleton, but I can go any other direction for various reasons based on my love and or frustration with the show.
Yeah, we have other beards to choose from. There just happened to be a lot of Loggins and Stapletons this season, but you know, who knows? Maybe next year it'll be, who's the guy from Cake, the lead singer of Cake? He has a goatee.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
He always has a goatee.
Yeah.
Someone like that. Someone else that you've never heard of. That only we know.
We'll figure it out. Now I'm going to be stuck on trying to remember that guy's name. All right, next question, Steve.
John McCrae.
Democrat.
This will be the last question. So it just, what scene affected you the most from this season? What scene affected you the most from this season?
I think we probably both can agree on that scene in the kitchen,
Hart,
between Sam and Dean and Hart, where, you know, that they decide that Sam's going to have to go kill
that him. That one. But I got to tell you, dude, I am a sucker for the emotional connection between dad and the sons. And so when dad comes back and all hell breaks loose, part two, to save his boys, and there's just that quiet look at the end, that was just awesome. I mean, it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jensen Ackles talking to, or Dean talking to his dead brother was also just beautiful.
Yeah.
So I guess those are my top three.
I'll say the same about the very first episode. I think that's what struck me in that. Like, there's, you know, Sam lamenting over dead Dean or dying Dean.
Right.
With, you know, dying Dean actually as a ghost, sort of like trying to talk to him, and then the dad, and dad making a sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's not one scene.
I got to say, I think that goes, I think that supplants Hart for me, because, and here's why. Their acting in Hart is unbelievable, and it was heartbreaking. But I didn't have a big emotional connection with the woman. I like the character and thing, but the father son stuff gets me. Maybe because I'm a father or son and all these
Absolutely.
Things. So I'll go with the Jeffrey Dean boys stuff, then Dean talking to Sam, then Hart. Those are in my order.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way, on that note, we would be remiss if we did not bring up in our year end wrap up, talk about our friend and fellow performer, Nikki Acox, who passed away.
Yeah.
Talk about a kick in the teeth. I knew Nikki, just, we know her with you guys fans as an unbelievable performer in Supernatural. She really got the whole idea of the recurring guest star started on Supernatural. The whole turn, you don't see it coming. Her performance is unbelievable. I know she was, we'd learned that she was handpicked by Kim Manners to play that role because he had worked with her before, and she just knocked the leather off the ball. Eric Kripke tweeted about that after she passed, how she just raised the bar on the show's ability to do dark things with wonderful performers who are, you know, not living there, but just guesting. I knew her personally from, she was dating a friend of mine back in the old Band of Brothers days. And so she and I got to hang out when we all went to the Band of Brothers premiere together in France a million years ago. And then we'd see her at conventions. And she was an outstanding human being, a lovely person, a beautiful woman, talented actress, sweet soul, and a gift to her family, her husband and her parents and any siblings she may have had. And I just, I'm heartsick for their loss. And I'm so sorry. Sadly, with life, these things are going to happen and they suck. And we just want to say, as representatives of the podcast, and by the way, for those who are interested, we had reached out to her to be on the show, and she had gotten back to Steve and said, I'm wrestling with a health issue, but we'll do it next time down the road. And so we were unaware she was so sick, and we're heart sick for this loss, for her family, and for anybody who knew and loved her work and knew and loved her personally. So,
well said, Rich. Well said. I don't know if I could add anything that would be of greater impact than what you just said, but yeah, just our hearts are broken.
Yeah, you honor Nikki Acox by going back and watching her work and just seeing the raw talent that woman possessed and brought to screen. We are lucky that Supernatural had her for the time that we did, and her legacy will live on forever as the show does as well. So to the Acox family, our sincerest condolences. And to all of you, thank you for being part of this world that we are creating in the podcast space. This is awesome.
Yes, we can't thank you enough for being a part of this. A special shout out to our Patreon people for being with us today. And we love your support, and we are so enjoying watching the show. And thankfully for all of us, we got 13 more to go. 13 more seasons.
That's right. This mustache will be gleaming white by the time we finish doing this podcast. We so love having you all. I got to say, Steve, I'm digging the whole live stream thing. I mean, it took us a hot minute to figure it out, but this is fun. We got to do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
And we will.
All right, everybody. Thank you. And thank you for listening. And be sure to like us on your where you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
tell your friends. Get your other Supernatural buddies on the hook to listen to the show. We appreciate it.
That's right. And we'll be back for more very soon.
Bye, y'all.
So long, everyone.
I'm looking at the chat room. I'm seeing what people think.
Uh-huh.
So they know what we're down to. Somebody threw out "Born Under a Bad Sign." That's not in that. We've moved past that. You got to.
It was a great episode, but it's just not going to make it.
Too many great episodes.
People are liking what is and what should never be. People like
it. If we were doing our top seven, no problem. This whole thing's over.
Yeah.
But we're doing our top five.
We're doing top five, and that's Steve's fault. If you have someone to blame, blame Steve.
We begged him to make it a top seven. You know, somebody in the chat room said that All Hell Breaks Loose 1 and 2 should be considered one episode.
Yeah,
and I would love to. Yeah. Unfortunately, Steve made airtight rules. We can't break them.
Storymill Media.